It's time for Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group with financial advisors Kevin Corhorn, Mike Bernard, and Josh Gregory.
Welcome to another episode of the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group, where every week we're helping you take your next wise step in your financial life. Thanks for being here, friends. My name is Mike Bernard. I am your host. I'm also one of the CFPs on the program. With me in the KFG studios today, Kevin Corhorn and special guest Corey Johnson.
So when you own your own business, or if you are self-employed, the decision on what retirement plan is best often comes too late and without a great overview of all the options. So add on top of that the need to be aware of the lucrative tax incentives for starting a retirement plan, and it means that this decision can no longer be an afterthought for the self-employed. So we're going to lay out your retirement plan options and tax benefits on this episode.
And we're going to behave. I don't know why. I don't know why. But when I think about these tax incentives, I go to a dark place. I do, and I need to not, because I don't get mad when the IRS allows you to contribute more to your 401k. I get excited. However, there's just some crazy tax incentives out there, and you need to know about it as a small business owner. So we're helping you with it right now. If you have a question for the program, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you need some help with your retirement plan at your small business, we're here to help as well. You can call or text us. 574-222-2000. That's 574-222-2000. Online, wisemoneyshow.com. It's where you can find us, and then all of our social media, wherever you're at, we are there as well. Search the Wise Money Show. Corey, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome back. So this is our second installment, if you will, in this really weird small business series. We're the first show of each month, but we're cheating in this one because it's the 30th. We're going to focus on small businesses. And the way we define small businesses isn't that you've got a bunch of employees. That it could mean that, but it also could just mean you're self-employed. Or you're fully employed, but have a side hustle. All of that, you've got to make some additional decisions about managing that self-employment income or managing your business. And one of those, Corey, we're going to focus on today, and that is sort of the premise of when you run a small business, or if you have self-employment income, you have a decision to make about what type of retirement plan you choose. And I want to start with the negative, and that is, you know, you're an expert in this area, and work with our team and a whole host of folks on navigating the choices of which retirement plans are best. We're going to get to that, but I want to start with mistakes. What are some of the most common mistakes that you see people make, small businesses or self-employed individuals with retirement plans?
Yeah. Well, let's start by taking a look at what are the steps required to implementing a plan. Because really the first choice that you have is, do you even offer a plan, right? You might be really small. You might think that it's not feasible. I would argue that there's never been a better time to start a retirement plan than right now, thanks to Secure Act 2.0.
Yeah.
But after you've decided, okay, yes, I would like to offer a retirement benefit to my employees, what's the correct vehicle that you're using or allowing your employees to use? Are you using a simple IRA, a SEP IRA, a 401k, a 403b? Mm-hmm. Once you figure that out, are you using the right chassis? So let's just say you use a 401k. Are you going to do a standalone 401k plan, kind of your traditional plan, or are you going to use a PEP? A pooled employer plan, and use the leverage of the assets inside of the entire PEP to reduce fees and administrative burden for your employees.
Okay, so thinking of this funnel here, you've got, should you even offer a plan?
Yep.
And then reviewing your options, so what plans are available, and then once you select the plan, the chassis or the exact type. So if we're talking about mistakes, it seems like to me, small business owners, if you're starting a small business or you're self-employed, you often aren't thinking about your retirement plan first. You're thinking about how to make widgets and will this boat even float? Mm-hmm. And yet then you reach some level of success and it's more of an afterthought. So at least to me, I totally get it. You're not even sure if this thing's gonna work. I'm not thinking about a retirement plan day one, but I would say it seems like people think about a retirement plan possibly too late. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And I think people, one of the biggest mistakes I've seen people make is they give too much time, effort, and energy to their retirement plan. So if you think in terms of delegate and elevate, you're right. When I first start the business, I'm trying to figure out, can I make widgets? And once I figure out that I can, is there anyone who wants to buy my widget? And then you've got, you know, your marketing, your engineering, your manufacturing, you have all these things, no matter what business that you're in, and you're consumed with them. And then someone says, you're trying to hire this person. They say, well, I'd like to come to work there, but you don't have a retirement plan, and I'd really like to have a retirement plan. So you say, okay, well, then we're going to have a retirement plan. And you create a scenario where not only do you have two businesses. You have the We Make Widgets business, and then you have the We Also Run a Retirement Plan business. And the second business is totally unnecessary. And I would question the wisdom of that at all, because you are going to be, especially if you're doing a 401k, you are going to be the fiduciary unless you have a named fiduciary. And most people don't know that you can have a named fiduciary. And I would tell people, well, even for our plan here at Corehorn Financial Group, I'm not the fiduciary for our plan. No one on our team is the fiduciary for our plan. We have a named fiduciary who's on the hook for all of the things that a fiduciary is supposed to be doing.
And that's really confusing, because when you start a 401k, you say, especially if you're a small business, it'd be tempting to say, I want the least expensive plan that I can possibly get. And then when you actually dig down into it and you start the 401k business and you say, okay, well, now I'm administering the plan, I'm the fiduciary in the plan, I'm signing off on distributions. Are you really saving the money that you thought you were going to save by picking a cheaper option?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, it's likely you're not if you and not only that, but so pretend you're really good at doing that stuff. But what if you weren't? What if you were good at starting businesses? If you're not good at that, you can actually get in trouble. And so when you do your 5,500, if you had late contributions to the plan, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm not a fear monger, and I'd say there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of, but I just wouldn't do it myself.
Except for yourself.
Except for all those scary things I just mentioned.
If you think you knew the rules of a 401k, yeah. I just got done talking to a CFO who used to audit plans, and she was just saying incorrect information on how to run a 401k because the laws change. They change all the time.
So that certainly could be one of the mistakes, is taking on more of the do-it-yourself approach with running your 401k. That absolutely could. If we're going through this cone of decision-making that Corey laid out, it does seem like if you're tempted to start the retirement plan too late because you needed to hire this key person and they didn't come because you didn't have a plan, or you sat down and got your taxes done and you owe six figures of taxes and you're like, I need a plan in place, blah, blah, blah. Then it seems like you're tempted to rush, and you don't want to get educated. You just want to get a plan, and you rush and get something in place, and it may not be the right thing. So I don't know if you see that often or whatnot, but.
Well, I think especially when you have a small business owner that owns multiple businesses and you say, hey, this business is not associated with my other entity that I'm dealing with. One makes t-shirts and the other one is making widgets. That becomes a control group issue depending on the ownership of the two companies. So that is an easy pitfall. That is not a very fun solution. Anytime the Department of Labor gets into the mix, there's not really any good answers.
Yeah, and we've actually had a front row seat to a situation like that, because you have the entrepreneur who started this business and it's running and going great guns. And so they say, well, okay, I'm going to start this other business that has nothing to do with the first business. Okay, so they get going. And if they're not talking to their team of professionals, now I've got a company that's gone for a couple of years that was supposed to be having a retirement plan because I have my control group issues. And now the fix on that is just a royal pain in the neck.
Well, so you guys have both said control group issues. And essentially, if the ownership
of multiple businesses is essentially the same. And I'm paraphrasing there. There's actual percentages, but if it overlaps, then you can't have two separate plans, or you can't just cover one business and not the other business. Mm-hmm. You've got to cover both. And how would you know that if you're making t-shirts or widgets or whatever, and you're not thinking about this? Well, it's having a relation, having trusted advisors helping you with your 401k and having ongoing conversations with them. So, okay. So we're going to pivot from common mistakes to, well, why is this an unbelievable time to start a retirement plan? And what are your options? We've got that and more coming up on the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
It's been said that there hasn't been a better time to start a retirement plan than right now. Why? Why is that? And would you be eligible for some of these goodies? We're going to explain that right now. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KFG Studios, Kevin Corhorn, and special guest, retirement plan expert, Corey Johnson. Every episode of the Wise Money Show is on podcast, wherever you listen. Go search the Wise Money Show, subscribe to it there. And like the program, rate the program. We appreciate that. That helps others who are looking for content on taking their next wise step in their financial life and having great financial habits, helps them find us. So we appreciate that. All right. So we're with Corey here breaking down, well, what are the retirement plan options when you're self-employed or just have self-employment income or run a small business? There's lots of layers there, and really it applies to all of you. We're going to get to, okay, if you're just a participant in the plan as well, we got that as well. But guys, before we go further and talk about some of the tax credits, other mistakes that you see people make as with their retirement plan, either getting it started or administering it.
Yeah, I mean, I think choosing the right investment lineup, some of the features like in-plan Roth conversions and distributions, whether it be a loan or a hardship distribution, those are all key decisions that you have to make kind of right off the bat, or else you're going to have to amend your plan later on.
Yeah. So when you're doing this, you want to have a great selection for features, administration. Do I have, if I have 100 folks, just to oversimplify, I'm now need to do a plan audit. That's where you really need to look at the pooled employer plan to say, okay, if I can bolt on to an existing chassis that plan itself is audited and I'm not incurring the cost of somewhere, you know, $8,000 to $15,000 a year. And it's not just the cost that you write to the auditor, it's the 40 hours that your HR type person is spending gathering all the data and getting it all correct. And there's a lot of precision required there. So this is where, again, the question is, what do you want to take on yourself and what do you want to put on to someone else?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okay, so you've said, Corey, you said right at the beginning, and I wouldn't argue with you, that there's never been a better time in the history of the world, if we just, like, the universe, to start a retirement plan.
Yes.
And so why is that? Why would you say that?
Well, thanks to Secure Act 1.0 and then enhanced with Secure Act 2.0, there's three tax credits that are available to small businesses who are starting a retirement plan. And think you have to have at least one employee to get these credits. But the first one is the startup and administration credit. And that is up to $5,000 that you can get 100% of your fees up to $5,000 on the startup and administration cost of the plan.
Yeah, so if you're listening and you say, hey, my company doesn't have a retirement plan and I'd like to get one started, I would think in terms of you can pretty much get your startup costs covered. And the a lot of times, because people don't understand 401ks, it's a simple concept, but the execution of a retirement plan is very complex. So the thing that most people do understand is, what do things cost? You know, I know what an invoice looks like, and I know how hard it is to get money in the bank so I can actually pay one.
Right, and I'm trying to run a business here.
Right.
So I don't want this complexity or this extra cost. No,
right.
Thank you.
Right. So this is the amazing thing, is that your startup cost, this, you know, for the entire history of the world, going back to the Roman Empire to today, it's been building towards this moment where it is the best time in the history of the world to start the retirement plan, because your startup cost in year number one are likely going to be either mostly or completely covered
by these tax credits. And so you pay it up front, and then there's a tax credit on the business return. Is that how that goes?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it even gets better from there. Because of Secure Act 2.0, you have to allow for auto enrollment, really starting in 2025. But if you're going to start a plan, just do the auto enrollment because you're going to have to do it next year anyway. And if you allow it, you get a $500 tax credit just for doing something that you have to do anyway.
Oh.
For the first 3 years.
Yeah. And I can tell you, if you see folks that have been in HR for a while, most of them have scars. And either scars or gray hair.
They got the COVID scar.
Yeah.
They've got, I'm not even going to mention them.
A number of them have the auto enrollment scar because it was a good idea. And so it came out a while back and people were like, well, okay, we'll give that a shot. And they tried it and it failed miserably and it made everyone miserable. And they had that one employee that slipped through the cracks. They got auto enrolled and then it took forever to get the money out of the plan. And that employee raised a ruckus the entire time. And so they're like, no, we don't want to do this. But it has gotten much, much, much better. But this goes back to selecting the right features and the administration. Because if you set it up correctly, where you've got the right systems and processes, auto enrollment is not to be feared. And to Corey's point, it's coming. Yeah. So like it or not, it's coming down the pike.
Going to be required, gives you an extra tax benefit. All right, I think you said three tax benefits.
Yeah, the third one is probably the most, I don't know, amazing one. Even when I talk to HR professionals or leadership teams now, they're like, are you stinking kidding me? Because it's the employer contribution credit. And think anybody who's making less than $100,000 that you put money into their account, whether it's a match or what's called a non-elective contribution into their account, you can get a 100% tax credit up to $1,000 per employee.
Okay, so there's like the I've got the angel on one shoulder and the mean guy on the other shoulder. So the angel is saying, yes, did you hear that? If you're running a small business right now, no matter, you know, really how small, you need to have at least one employee. One of the costs that you're probably thinking of is, oh, I've got to do a match. Oh, gosh, how am I going to come up with that? No, you can get a tax credit for that match up to 100%. And yes, there's some requirements. That's why you got to have a trusted team. On the other side, the other shoulder, it's taxpayers. Taxpayers are paying your match. But listen, I didn't write the rules. You didn't write the rules. We just get to vote. And this is the law. This is the rules now. So leverage it. Use it for your advantage. Make sure you understand them and make the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was sitting down with a CFO the other day, and she was saying, hey, we want to start this plan, but we cannot afford the match. And I was like, well, let's talk about that for a little bit, because I think you can, and I think you can afford it for at least the next 5 years. Because really the way the credit works, it's a 100% credit the first 2 years, 75% year three, 50% year four, and 25% year five. And I'm assuming if you focus on your small business and are growing, you will be able to afford the match because of the credit maybe to start out with. But beyond that, I'm saying if you guys are doing what you're doing, you're going to be able to afford the match ongoing as well.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is some crazy stuff. So that's thanks to some tax law, Secure Act 2.0. All right, so let's start wading into then your choices, okay? And we'll start as a small business, again, whether that's you and someone else or you and 10 other people or you and 100 other people. We've got to start with the 401k. And I would say for small businesses, before these rules came out, I wouldn't have started with the 401k. I would have started with the simple IRA, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. But yet you have to start with the 401k right now because of all those tax incentives we talked about. So let's break down the 401k, how it works for your small business, and why consider it.
Yeah. So the 401k, I would agree, the tax credits make it a whole lot easier to start up. And really, when your employees are going and talking with their friends, they're not talking about, oh, my company has a SEP IRA or a simple IRA. All their friends are saying, no, we have a 401k. Mm-hmm. So you're starting it to not only retain your employees, but attract incoming ones.
Yeah. And there's going to be a lot more choice, which we said you can get bogged down in those choices if you don't have the right coaches and all that sort of stuff. But there's a lot of choice and flexibility with the 401k that it offers.
Yeah, and there are some features and benefits that a 401k has that a simple IRA does not have. The main features, really, I would say it has bigger buckets for you to put money into. Now, they have the Secure Act 2.0 improved or enhanced the simple IRA. But if you do it right and you get the cost sharing right on the 401k, after the 3 to 5 years, you should be okay, and the cost shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, your contribution limit is much higher. We've seen a lot of people over the years shift from a simple IRA or just saying, well, you can, you know, everyone will just fund their IRAs. If we don't have a plan, it'll be fine. But then as you make more money or the business is more successful, saying, we need a way to defer more income. Mm-hmm. And that's 401k. It has the biggest contribution buckets out there. What are some of the other reasons to consider the 401k? And if it's not for you, what are your other retirement plan choices? We've got that and more coming up on The Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
All right, so if you don't have a small business, but you've just got self-employment income, you work for yourself, maybe you have a side hustle, should you have a 401k? Can you have a 401k? Or what's the right plan for you? We're helping with that right now. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KFC studios, Kevin Corhorn, special guest, retirement plan expert, Corey Johnson. Every episode of the Wise Money Show, as well as a lot of other content, is on the YouTube channel. Go check it out. Go to YouTube, search the Wise Money Show. And subscribe to it there. We've got well over 1,000 videos there. Any financial question you've had, odds are there's some valuable content there for you on the YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Wise Money Show, subscribe to it there. Okay, so we're talking about the 401k, different features and reasons why you should consider it for your small business. And as I said, you know, previously, up until just a few years ago, but certainly up until a year and a half ago, even for your small business, the first thought would have been, okay, you're just getting started, probably a simple IRA. Now you're just getting started, probably a 401k. And the good news is that gives you the biggest buckets to defer money into and the most features and flexibility. So let's talk a little bit more about some of those features and flexibilities we haven't mentioned already.
One of the features that you have in a 401k that you might not have in a simple IRA, you wouldn't have in a simple IRA, is the ability to take a loan against your account, which I'm not a proponent of robbing your future self of your retirement dollars, but in the right situation, a loan feature is a very useful tool.
It's a tool. Yep. We don't go to the toolbox and say we love the hammer and hate the drill. So if it can be a great tool, and so we do not issue blanket statements that we cannot stand that tool. It is so that is one of the features that's available in a 401k that's not in a simple IRA. But what were the other things we were talking about at the break?
Rothification. So your simple IRA should now have the ability for you to contribute Roth. Well, they're close to rolling that out, but you can do Roth matching in your 401k. That should be coming. It was supposed to be legal last year. They haven't figured that out yet, but it should be coming soon. So got that as well.
And why does that matter? Here's why it matters. Because we see folks that have a 401k with a safe harbor match. So basically, to oversimplify, a safe harbor match makes it so I'm not subject to a bunch of testing and other things. And I put in 5% and the company puts in 4%. So there's 9% of my income that's going towards retirement. That's great. Well, we've seen, when you look at the 6 questions that need to be answered when you're going into a retirement plan, one of the questions is it before tax dollars or after tax dollars that I'm contributing?
Yeah.
And we've seen lots of folks that pay 0 federal taxes that are putting money into the plan pre-tax. Yep. So I'm currently, because I've got 4 kids at home and my wife is a stay-at-home mom, I'm not paying any federal taxes, and yet I'm accruing a tax liability in my 401k. And we would say, stop doing that. Put that money in after tax, because it's yes, now your income's going to be a little bit more. You're still not paying taxes.
Yeah, right.
And so, and what they're going to allow for, and it's not, we're not there yet, but they're going to allow for the company match to, because right now the only way it's ever been is the company match has been before tax money, and so you're accruing a tax liability there as well, and that's going to change.
Yeah, and as a that we're talking about tax planning as a business owner, the 401k has a feature that you could say, I want to take this huge tax liability and lower it by using a profit sharing contribution.
Yeah,
yeah, so. Yeah.
So, but that alone, like I would go back to making sure you've got the right team of professionals around you that can review those options, what it costs and all that sort of stuff. All right. So let's pivot here. And if there's more to share on the 401k, that's fine. But what about if you're just self-employed, you're a contractor, you do sales and you get a 1099, you're not an employee. And we talked about that in our last small business show where you decide, you know, what entity you have. Or you should have. Can you do a 401k if it's just you?
You can. It's titled a little bit differently. It's called a single K or a solo 401k. There's a ton of different names for it. But think the single K is for owners and their spouses only. Mm-hmm. You cannot have any eligible employees to contribute to the plan and have a single K.
I had an individual who was going out on her own. She's been managing a business for a long time, and with the full blessing of her employer, was all right. I'm going to go hang a shingle and do this myself. And so we were talking about her. One of the benefits that she's walking away from is 401k and some profit sharing and all of that. And so we were talking about, well, you know, this single K, you could really not do the exact same thing, but pretty close. And she was like, well, I'm going to have one employee. And I was like, oh, okay. So probably looking at a 401k in that situation.
And that even got a little bit tougher because of Secure Act 2.0. You might say, I have an employee, but they really don't work 1,000 hours in any given year. So they're never going to be eligible. So I'm going to start a single K. Well, there's a thing called a long-term part-time employee. Mm. Now, with Secure Act 2.0, that is, if you have an employee that's worked 500 or more hours in the previous 2 years, they're now eligible to contribute to the retirement plan.
Gotcha. So that would negate you from being able to do the single K. So, but the single K, one of the benefits is there's not a bunch of administration, right? So, and you're still going to have the same contribution limits, the bigger contribution limits. You can do a employer contribution into that. And so you've got your own your employee contribution. You can do an employer contribution in that single K as well. Some allow Roth contributions, right?
Roth, loan, it really depends on who your custodian is and the plan document itself. So that you would want to seek advice on that. I would not suggest just going and setting it up because you might think you have some of these features and you just don't have them.
Right. You would definitely want to tailor that to your situation, because in your unique situation, you might say, hey, one of the lines of defense that I'm going to have is I'm going to have the ability to take a loan against my retirement plan. I'm setting up a solo K, single K, whatever you want to call it, and I can borrow 50% of the balance of my plan up to $50,000. And you might say that's a component of my defense and a way to keep me in business. But there are lots of single Ks out there that a loan provision is not part of the deal.
Yeah, not allowed.
Right.
Okay, so what about if your self-employment income is a side hustle? If you've got other income and you've got a 401k available to you there, mm-hmm. and you're contributing to that through your employer, and then for your side business, your side income, is a single K a good option for you?
Absolutely.
It's ideal.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful with how much you're contributing as an employee of both businesses, because you're still limited to the $23,000 for 401k unless you're 50 or older and you get $7,500 catch up. But that employee contribution has to remain at $23,000 for both plans. Yeah. However, you as a self-employed individual can contribute up to $69,000, depending on how much income you have, as an employer contribution into your single K.
Yeah, so you can do a profit share into your single K. So between the two plans, and same thing works, by the way, just as an aside, if you change employers halfway through the year and you had a 401k with one and now you got a 401k with the other, your total contribution, your out of your pocket as an employee, pre-tax or a Roth, can't be more than that $23,000 limit plus another $7,500 if you're age 50 or older. But there are other contributions that you could make. And if you're for your small business or your side income, doing that profit share can add another, chunk of contribution. Absolutely.
Yes. That's why I say it is ideal, but you do want to understand the fancy footwork, because that $69,000 limit includes my employee contributions. It includes the other employer's contribution. So you need to aggregate all of those pieces and make sure you're not violating.
And you have to aggregate the employee contributions. It's called the 402G. You do not have to aggregate what's called the 415C.
Right.
So you could get the 69 in this plan and then still contribute on the other one.
Yeah, gotcha. So, but there again, understanding all of these rules, that's not your job. No one's going to spend their free time learning about all those, different numbers and what they mean. But working with the right team of professionals, retirement plan experts, so you can navigate your choices. Again, we started with some of the most common mistakes with retirement plans and not having a full understanding of what's available and the benefits and features of each, so you can pick the best one. That's one of the common mistakes. All right, we've got more coming up here on the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
Thanks for being here. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KFG studios, Kevin Corhorn, special guest Corey Johnson. Stay up to date on all Wise Money content. Find us online, wisemoneyshow.com. Then wherever you're at in social media, we are there as well. Search the Wise Money Show. We've been focusing on your small business. And yes, that means you and your 10 employees or whatever, but it also means your side income, your independent contractor income. This is part of a small series that we're doing that the beginning of each month, focusing on the decisions and financial planning with your small business. We're going to pivot that just a second here to speak to everyone that's got a 401k. What are the key decisions that you need to make? But right now we're going through the types of retirement plans, your choices. Talked about the 401k and single K. The simple IRA is where we used to start, but now I would make sure that it doesn't make sense for you to have a 401k, and then I'd consider a simple IRA. Simple, this is not going to be on the quiz, is actually an acronym. Saving Incentive Match Plan for Employees is what SIMPLE stands for, and it's designed to strip out a lot of the extra features of a 401k and thereby strip away a lot of the cost as well, make it very easy to set up and very easy to administer. But with some recent rules, they've made it less simple to fully understand. So guys, just break it down high level. What's the simple IRA, and what type of small employer or small business should consider it?
Yeah, I think this is the right employer has reduced significantly on if it makes sense or not. But I would say if you are an employer where you say, I as the business owner can't contribute above the simple IRA limits, and my employees can't or won't contribute above the simple IRA minutes, that this might be a good option for you. Mm-hmm. There's less flexibility inside the simple IRA. So think in a 401k, there's a great deal of flexibility in terms of eligibility. In a simple IRA, I think the most restrictive you can be is 2 years of service and have earned $5,000 in those prior 2 years. And you can reduce it to 1 year or full eligibility, but there's not an hours requirement that would be associated like in a 401k.
So more people are going to be eligible. Your contribution limits are still high, but they're going to be lower than the 401k. 16 grand, I think, is the limit for 24. Is that right? Yep. And 3,500. Your small business has 25 or fewer employees, then you can contribute another 10% above and beyond those limits. So 17,600. It's just crazy. So yeah. This is where they've made the simple not so simple. You will have the ability to do a Roth simple IRA contribution at some point.
Some point.
It's currently legal, except you can't do it just yet. And yeah, your matching contribution you used to just have two options: 3%, 100% match up to 3%, or a 2% not match, non-elective contribution. Do it for everyone. But now you've got more choices than that, even than simple IRA. And then one other gotcha, and this applies to you that are just you don't run the business, you just work there and have a simple IRA. That if you leave that employer and you have your simple IRA for less than 2 years. Or the company has a simple IRA and they shut it down inside of 2 years, there could be a penalty if you roll that money out of the simple IRA within 2 years. They're talking about that right now. That might even change. But I'm not talking about withdrawing the money from a simple IRA. I'm just talking about moving it from a simple IRA to an IRA. There could be a penalty if you do that within 2 years. So again, some things that are not so simple either. As an employer, there's not a lot of cost to set up the simple. It's really just the matching contribution, yeah. Right?
I mean, the cost is very minimal and the ongoing administration of the plan is very simple. There's no testing associated with it. It's you can contribute up to the max limit. Even if your employees don't contribute, you will have to put in either a 3% match or a 2%, again, called a non-elective. I'm going to put the money into your plan, whether you contribute or not. But yeah, the annual administration plan is very little to none.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So what other retirement plans do you consider? What are some other that we haven't talked about? The SEP IRA is one, Simplified Employee Pension. This, if you've got a bunch of employees that you don't do Thanksgiving dinner with, you're probably not going to do a SEP IRA. SEP IRA is more so for you if it's just your side income or side hustle. That's really where you're going to look at the SEP a lot. Or if it's just a family-run business, because any contribution that is made to the SEP is made by the employer. And if they make a contribution to one SEP IRA for an employee, they have to make it to everyone. Mm-hmm. And so the only time you see SEP IRAs is for your side income or side hustle, or for a, you know, 3 or 5 person business where it's just the family that's working there. They've expanded the SEP, so it's now can be Roth SEP IRA contributions. That is allowed right now. I think that was pretty easy and efficient to do. But yeah, that's the SEP IRA.
Yeah. I think one retirement option that I don't know and I don't think you really want to enroll in it, but there are states out there that are mandating that businesses with 5 or more employees have a retirement plan. And their solution is a state-run, essentially, IRA. And Michigan and Indiana do not have one right now, but our neighbor Illinois does. And I did some research on their plan. And you are auto-enrolled at 5% into a Roth IRA. You can make the switch to a traditional IRA if you want. And the investment options inside of there are a target date series, 2 money market accounts, 1 bond index, and 1 S&P 500. That's what you got.
Yeah.
Like it or not, I think there's going to be more of that, unfortunately, based on all these laws and what they're doing. It just seems like there's going to be more of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So we need to talk about.
All right. Let's pivot here. Yeah. If you don't run a business or you don't have any self-employed income and you've made it this far in the show, we love you. I mean, you're fantastic. I know we've normally most shows, there's no jargon. We're trying to keep a high level. We're talking strategies that apply to many people. And this has been more narrow focus. But if you just have a 401k, if you work at an employer and you have a 401k that you contribute to, there's 6 questions you need to answer, and let's hit those rapid fire.
Yeah, and if you do, and Mike, you said if you just have a 401k, and I would suggest that it's the most powerful wealth building tool you'll ever have in your lifetime.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. So the question is, how much should you invest? So if you look at your wage, all right, you should probably at least capture the company match, and depending on your financial plan, working with your CFP, what amount of money should be going into the plan? That's one. The next one is where should that money be invested? What's your asset allocation? That's a fancy term for it. I think it's one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make in your lifetime is how do your dollars get invested? Because it's going in systematically. It is a great way to accumulate wealth, and it's actually a great way to invest in some things that go up and down a lot.
Yeah.
And If that makes you nervous, I would encourage you just don't look at that stuff. The third thing you have to decide is, am I doing it pre or post-tax? So if I'm doing it pre-tax, I'm reducing my current income. I'll pay tax on that when it comes out. If I'm doing it post-tax, think Roth, and I'm accepting that money to pay taxes on, but I won't pay tax on that or the growth of it ever again.
Yeah. So do you need the deduction today, or do you not need the deduction today, and instead you're going to have that money grow tax-free for you in the future?
And this is where you want someone working with your participants if you run a plan, because they need to be making the right decisions and their lives change.
That's why I hate auto enrollment, guys, because you give up these decisions. Okay, keep going. Fourth decision.
So rebalance. What should my rebalance schedule be? What's the frequency? But I likely should rebalance it in the same way I should be rebalancing my tires. And then beneficiaries. Who gets the money when I'm done with it? And understanding you can't roll a 401k to a non-spouse beneficiary likely. So you'd want to understand, if I'm not married, how is this going to work, and how do I structure it? And then the sixth one, and this is attributable to our resident expert, Corey Johnson, is what do I do with my existing 401k?
Yep.
I left, when I left my employment, I left my 401k there. What should I do with that? And there, we've met with folks that have 2, 3, 4 different retirement plans. And if you don't get those consolidated and combined, first of all, it's very difficult to know what your asset allocation is. And if you have unrewarded risk and portfolio overlap, these types of things that us geeks don't really like, but you don't want that either.
Very easy to lose dollars or squander some dollars in old 401k plans. So Corey, thanks for being here. This has been this has been helpful to those of you that own small businesses, run small businesses, or even participate in a 401k. So that's all the time we have for today. On behalf of Kevin Corhorn, Corey Johnson, all of us at KFG, have a great weekend. We'll see you next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
We've got all these problems in the world with world peace and all these problems, and they're doing Secure Act 3.0. I'm like, are you kidding me? But that's why they...
All right, speaking of 3.0, third segment.
Let's go.
That rhymed. It's time. No, nothing? All right, here we go.
Dude, that is terrible. that is painful.
Yeah. Wish I had a dime every time someone said that. Here we go.
Securities offered through Silver Oak Securities, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through KFG Wealth Management, LLC. Doing business as Corhorn Financial Group. KFG Wealth Management, LLC and Silver Oak Securities Incorporated companies are unaffiliated.